All right, we got a few minutes left, and we're going to talk about the celebration of ministry. Celebration of ministry. And I wanted to turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Now, there is a fill-in sheet, and if you didn't pick one up coming in, the ushers are at the back. They have a sheet. Just raise your hand, wave it, and they will give you this one up here. And if there's others, just keep your hand up right here in the middle, too. And want you to be able to take home some of these thoughts with you so you don't forget how to celebrate these ministries. Here's what 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 to 9 says. And this is Paul writing about their team that were working in a church. And he says this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Now that's something to celebrate. We are God's fellow workers. Together, we're doing something. As I read that verse, there were six things that just popped out to me, and I'm just going to give them to you, and you can fill it in as we go here. Out of this verse, we find this. Ministry is practical and varied. It's practical and it's varied. Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. Ministry is not just mystical. It means labor, work, sweat, time, effort. And it's not just one kind of ministry. It's multiple. Everyone's gifted differently. Everyone's involved differently. You have to be careful that you don't evaluate others based on your own gift. Because you might feel, why aren't they involved in this? And you're thinking about your ministry. But you may not realize they're doing some other ministry that you have no idea that they're involved in. And so it's a matter of just realizing, hey, it's varied. There's all kinds of different kinds of ministry, and it's practical. Ministry is practical. Here's the second thing. Ministry is a means to an end. It's a means to an end. It's not just done for its own purpose, but it brings about something. Ministry is for a purpose. And here's the next one. Ministry allows God to bring increase. It says in this verse so that, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Everything that happens, everything that's going to grow, everything that's going to blossom, everything that's going to bring fruit, God gives that. We cannot take the credit for anything. It's not our effort alone. It's not just because we did this and so I can take the credit. No, God gives the increase. And so all the glory goes to God for everything that happens. But we have to realize we have a part to play. If Paul hadn't planted, there wouldn't have been an increase. If Apollos hadn't watered, there wouldn't be an increase. But because they did their part, they released the increase to come. I wonder what increase God has for us as a church. How would he want us to grow? Not just in numbers, but in character, in influence, in benefiting this community. God wants to give an increase. But we need to, as ministers, do our part and do practical things in different areas, realizing I'm doing this so that God can release an increase to our lives. And here's the next thing that came out of this verse to me. Ministry brings unity. Because it says, he who plants and he who waters are one. When we're involved in something bigger than ourselves, we tend not to be as petty. When you're involved doing something with other people, there is a sense of working together, a unity, you have a project. But if you don't have a project, you're sort of idle and you're sort of milling around. And when you're milling around, you step on one another's toes. And when you're milling around, you know, you get in one another's way. And you get upset with someone. There's a unity that comes when you get involved. When you start doing your ministry with someone else. It creates a unity. Now, there is a unity in the spirit, but then there is the practical expression of it. We're all one, whether you know it or not. Everyone that's born of God, we're one family, and God sees us as one. But many times we don't express that unity. And so the more, here's the key, you get involved in some kind of ministry, and you're going to experience a new unity in the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says a person's gift makes room for them. If you sort of feel like, well, I don't know, I sort of feel out of place. I don't know whether I really belong. That's an indication you haven't got fit in yet. And how do you get fit in? By doing something. By starting something, being involved practically. Being part of a ministry. There's your gift, the contribution of your gift brings a room for you to operate. And I've said this many times. It's not your giftedness that makes room for you. Because sometimes we think that. Well, don't people realize I could do that? People appreciate what I can do? How come I'm sort of getting bypassed? They need to see my giftedness. But it's not your giftedness that makes room for you. It's actually when you contribute your gift. When you see a need and you just step into it and serve. And you give of yourself. You're giving your gift. You're giving of your ability. And as you do that, the scripture says that will make room for you. And you have your part to play in the church. Here's the next one. Ministry brings reward. It says in this verse, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, God is the one that does this. Now, there's a reward to seeing the project or whatever we're working on accomplished. But even beyond this, there's a reward that comes from God that he says, I will reward those. You can't even give a cup of water in the name of the Lord without receiving a reward. And you need to be conscious of that as you feel maybe put upon. Well, I don't know. Others don't seem to be doing what I'm doing. I've done my part. Why don't they do their part? And we get looking and we don't realize, well, you want to throw your reward away? You should be rejoicing. I have more opportunity to serve. I have more opportunity to step in and help in things. And God gives a reward to those that do that. Here's the last one. Ministry involves us in God's enterprise. And that's just simply how we started in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You don't see it so much now, but when I was growing up, you saw a lot of businesses that would say, so-and-so and sons. When I grew up, my dad was hauled stone, and the quarry in Hamilton was called A. Cope and Sons. And I remember seeing that sign different times as I would ride with him in the truck. A. Cope and Sons. You know why? You know God's got an enterprise. And it's God and sons and daughters. Are we involved in his enterprise? Have we grown up? See, you got to grow up a little bit to be involved. I remember when my dad was putting on the side of his truck, S.W. Miles and Son. And I said to my dad, see, I was only about 9 at the time. My brother was 19. He was 10 years older than I. And so the business was S.W. Miles and Son, my older brother. And I said to dad, why does that say sons? It's because I wasn't mature. I wasn't involved. I was as much a son as my older son, or my older brother. But I wasn't mature. I wasn't involved. And we need to mature and realize, I want to grow up. I want to mature. I want to be part of God's business, what he's doing, what he's accomplishing on earth. I want to be part of that. We want to be part of God's enterprise. Here's the next verse, Luke 10, 1 to 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, here God is likening his enterprise to the harvesting of a crop. And in his verses here, he says there's a problem. There's a problem here. Jesus says there's a problem. What was the problem? Well, the problem wasn't God's reluctant to act. And sometimes we think that way. We almost pray that way. Oh, God, you got to do something. Oh, God, you got to move. Oh, God, you got to. As if God doesn't want to. The problem is not God. The increase that he wants to give us is not that he's reluctant and he's holding it back and he says, oh, okay, I'll give it to you. No, God's not reluctant at all. So the problem isn't God. The problem isn't a lack of interest of the people. He says the harvest is plentiful. He says in another place, the harvest is white unto harvest. It is mature. It's ready to be harvested. Many times we think, well, it's just a hard place, you know. People aren't interested in God, and it's a different world, and too bad. If more people were interested, we'd see more of an increase. This goes contrary to what God says here. It's not the harvest. The problem isn't with the harvest. In fact, when the Lord looked at the fields, it prompted in his heart a compassion for the people. And he said, the harvest is plenteous. So it's not the harvest. The problem is not with the harvest. And here's the next thing. The problem is not a lack of means. We don't have the ability. We don't have the means to do this. I tell you, this generation we live in, the Apostle Paul would be amazed. You mean you can get in a car and travel 5 miles and be there in 10 minutes? They walked those miles. When they went to another city that was probably only 40 or 50 miles away, they had to go by ship. It took them a long time. There was shipwrecks, all kinds of things. Communication, he'd write a letter, and maybe the recipient would get it a month later. He would say, what's this thing with email? You click it and you get it immediately? The means we have are amazing, like never before. Now, here's the key, folks. Why does God allow the advance of technology? It's not so that the enemy can use it. It's that we can use it. Are we using it? Are we using social media? Are you using email? Have you thought it through? How can I use this to God's benefit? Time shift, technology increases. It's not a lack of means. What's the problem? Well, the Lord identifies it. He says, it's the laborers that are few. The laborers, the people that are to be working. The laborers are few. God wants to do it. The harvest is ready. We have all the means. Where's the bottleneck? The laborers. The laborers are few. The unemployment rate in Canada is 5.7%, the lowest it's been in a long while. 5.7% of people, citizens of Canada, would like to be employed, but they can't find work. I wonder what the unemployment rate is in the church. The unemployment rate. You're a Christian. You love God. But are you a laborer? Are you intentional? Do you know where you're serving? Is your gift being used? The laborers are few. Jesus ended that portion by saying, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. In other words, we need laborers to go forth, and they have to be anointed, commissioned by the Lord. And I believe the Lord's doing his part. In fact, the answer to some of this prayer is in what we spoke last week. It was one of the points last week, so I'm not going to go into this in any depth. But the point was this. Leaders of the church are to equip the members for ministry. Leaders of the church, and here's the verse in Ephesians 4, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So our job is not to do all the work. The leaders of the church are to help you and equip you and challenge you and teach you and show you how to do the work of ministry. Stephen ministers receive 50 hours of training to help them to do that ministry. In fact, and I've said this many times, even if you're not a Stephen minister, that training is so powerful to go through those hours of training. It just helps you how to relate to other people, how to be compassionate, how to be have a listening ear, and what are the limitations and the boundaries that you can have with someone else. A lot of good things in that. But see, we're going doing the one right now. One-on-one class is going on in the meeting room. That's a way that we're trying to show people how to become a member of this local church so we can equip you. It's the first class going forward. So again, we want to be faithful in doing that and helping people to write a mission statement when they're finished. We're getting it down to a one-sentence mission statement so that you can really see how you're made, what your talents are, where I would best function. All of that is the job of the leaders of the church. Now, here's your next fill-in. God wants ministers, not volunteers. God wants ministers, not volunteers. Now, we've used the term volunteers this morning, and it's hard to get around that because in the practical sense, people that are involved in ministry are volunteering in the sense that they're not being paid. They are working another job for their livelihood, but they are volunteering in that sense their time. But I want you to see something, and this is really important, and it's not the first time I've shared this. Many of you have heard this before as we've had these sessions. God's not looking for volunteers. Volunteers, sense it's a sense of, well, it's optional. I'm helping someone else. You know, it's not really necessary. In a sense, it's necessary because we always say, well, we need volunteers. No, we don't need volunteers. We need ministers. We need people who know how they're made. They have a spiritual gift. They have a heart's passion. They have abilities. And they have been placed in ministry, working with other people to accomplish. Now, that's not a volunteer. That's a minister. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are all members of the body of Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Which member of your body is volunteering? Is the heart volunteering? Lungs volunteering? The big toe volunteering? No, it's part of a body. Now, Christ is the head, so we need to be submitted to one another so that the head can give direction. But what part of the body is volunteering? And it'd be a terrible thing to say, you know, we need the blood pumped around through my body. Who will volunteer to do that job? Sometimes we have a volunteer, sometimes we don't have a volunteer. No! And there's not a choice between the heart, the lungs, and the kidneys. Which one of you three will volunteer to do this? Well, what if the lungs volunteered? But they're not suited for it. They're not equipped for it. We say, no. We need all the members of the body be functioning in its right place. And really, there's no volunteers. We're all one body under the head. We all have a different function. We all have something to do. And so I need to get involved. Now, isn't this exactly what the scripture says as we go on here? And here's your next fill-in. A member of the body does not volunteer. It does its part. It does its part. It says here in Ephesians 4, 15, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. What part are we talking about? The member of the body. And it says we're all members of the body. And so you as a member of the body needs to do your share. Your share may be different than another member. It might look completely different than another member. And sometimes we don't even appreciate what members do. Sometimes we think, well, the tonsil, we don't really need that. Now they're finding, and they're doing studies, that those that have their tonsils removed have more infections. And they begin to realize that it did have a function, even though they say, wow, what's the function? Well, now they begin to see the function. And so on and on it can go. But everyone needs to do their part. And then what does it say? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in the love. So what's the result of this? The body grows. God gives increase. We have more influence. We have more numbers. We have more impact. The gospel is being extended to more people. Increase comes when every member does its share. So the key, now listen here. The key is not more volunteers. The key is to realize that every member is a minister. Every minister is a member of the body of Christ. So if we were to ask the question, who here is in ministry? We need to all stand up. Now I know we have sort of a division, clergy and laity. And so we say, well, you're in the ministry. And a lot of that distinction is because, well, you're getting a salary from your ministry. But I have to work on the job, so I'm just volunteering. Now, there is a distinction in that sense. But really, from God's perspective, there are a lot of bivocational pastors, people that are working hard and they do ministry on the side. The first years of this church, I did other things. I drove a school bus. I went and we had a bookstore. And there was a number of things we did to supplement our income. But I was the pastor. And so we need to get this thinking out of our head that only some are ministers. Every member is to be a minister. And the key is, if we're going to have no lackage of laborers, it's when everybody realizes, I have a part to play. I have a function to fill. I need to be involved. No, in the natural, when cells multiply within the body but have no function, what do we call that? Cancer. Every cell that multiplies needs to have a function, a part, something to do. Otherwise, a sickness comes over the body that not everybody's involved, not everyone's doing things. And so the body's limited, and God can't give the increase that he wants to give as a result of that. These are things that we need to be conscious of. And so it's not a matter of, well, will I volunteer or not? I wonder if I should volunteer. Maybe I should volunteer. Well, there is, again, I understand there's a part of that. But what you really need to say is how God made me. What's my purpose? What part can I play? What can I give? I want to give my gift, my talent, my ability. so that the body will grow and be edified and be all that God wants it to be. Let me close with this. It's on your back of your sheet. The difference between a volunteer and a minister. I wrote this a number of years ago, and I've used it here at different times in the church. But I thought it'd just be good, in light of this service, to talk about it again. The difference between a volunteer and a minister. And you can fill these in as we go. A volunteer finds time to help. A minister makes time to help. A volunteer contributes to the project. A minister owns the project. It's not removed. The body is a body. Every member, you're not doing it for someone else. This is my body. I'm doing what I'm doing. I hope every member of my body feels a part of it and no one's volunteering. Here's the next one. A volunteer anticipates thanks for helping. A minister anticipates the beneficial results. Now, that doesn't mean we can't express appreciation, and we should, and that's what this whole Sunday is about. We are celebrating ministry. We are appreciating people. It doesn't take away from appreciation. That needs to be very, very much and lavish in that sense. But a volunteer anticipates it. Well, no one thanked me for that. I don't know whether I'm going to get involved again in that because no one really thanked me for it. Thanked a lot of other people, but they didn't thank me. See, a volunteer anticipates thanks, but a minister anticipates the beneficial results. You're doing it for God. You're doing your part. God's going to give the increase. There's going to be a value and a benefit that comes. That's what a minister anticipates, the beneficial results. A volunteer sees himself helping someone else. A minister sees himself contributing his part. We've already mentioned this. I'm not just helping someone else. Even though your spiritual gift may be helping, so it doesn't mean that you don't help. But what we're seeing is the volunteer is sort of like, I'm not really involved. I'm not really necessary. I'm just going to help someone else. But a minister says, no, I'm an integral part of this, which goes to the next one. A volunteer focuses on completing the task. A minister focuses on the reason for the task. A volunteer says, let's get this done. Let's get quick. I want to go home. Let's get this over with. Let's get the task finished. But a minister focuses on why we're doing it. You know, I'm a little concerned, and this is just open. Maybe I shouldn't even say this. When we did Walk of Lights last year, it was fresh. It was new. We were all excited. We hadn't done it before. You know, we were anticipating, this is going to be, we're not sure how many people's going to come. So we had volunteers, hours and hours and hours went into building the Walk of Lights and the people that did different aspects of it. The actors, they learned their parts. We did, you know, so there was an excitement. We're going to be starting just shortly in another month or two, Walk of Lights again. And in the back of my mind, I was like, I hope there's the same enthusiasm. I hope that people are focusing on the reason and not just on the work. And I'm praying we'll have more people involved with Walk of Lights. I hope that everyone's involved in the church and the Walk of Lights. And then God will give a greater increase than what we had last year. But we have to get involved. We have to be working. Here's the next one. A volunteer feels like an extra hand added on. Well, I'm going to volunteer. They need some more help there. Yeah, they need an extra hand. Yeah, there's a lot of work. Yeah, I guess too much for just a few people. I'll be an extra hand. Where a minister feels like, no, I'm an integral part of this. I'm not an extra hand. I'm not an add-on. I'm doing my part. This is where I need to be. They need me. Just like there's no part of the body that's just an add-on. Unless it's the extra weight. I'm not sure how that works out. A volunteer works for appreciation. Volunteer works for appreciation. But a minister works for satisfaction. The satisfaction of seeing the task accomplished, seeing God's blessing, seeing the increase. A volunteer responds to being asked. I don't really get involved unless someone comes. If they ask me nicely, and I'm not too busy, then I'll volunteer. But a minister responds to the cause. They see the reason. They see why we're doing this. I have to. I can do nothing else but get involved in this. A volunteer starts when he wants. A minister starts when needed. I could say a lot about that. But we'll just leave it. It speaks for itself. And here's the last one. A volunteer stays until he wants to leave. A minister stays until the end. These are aspects of just as I sat down trying to get my head around the difference between a volunteer and a minister. And I just challenge us all that we would be ministers of Jesus Christ. That we'll be fellow workers with Jesus. And that the celebration and the increase that God wants to bring will be total. There's no bottleneck. That the Lord, looking at our church, he says, "Woo, 100% employment. I can bring lots of increase there." There's going to be a lot of productivity in that aspect of my enterprise because the laborers are many. In fact, then he'll add more laborers so that we can accomplish more that God has for us. Let's stand together this morning. Yesterday, we had an anchor board meeting. And the candidate who was applying for license with Anchor said this. When I was 7 years of age, I was in a service. He said, I heard the minister say, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, as a 7-year-old boy, he said, that just grabbed my heart. And he said, I said to the Lord, I want to be a laborer. And he went on to share how from 7 to where he is now, and the progress and the things he had been involved in, how it brought him to a point now where he's applying for license with Anchor Ministerial. I hope that this message grips your heart in some way. That there'll be a deep-seated recognition within you. I'm not a volunteer. I'm a minister. And that as that grips you, the empowerment comes from God to equip you, to employ you, that you have all the satisfaction and joy that comes and the rewards that's going to come as a result of that, and that the kingdom of God is built. So that's my prayer for us. So Father, we never cease being ministers. And so, Lord, I ask that you just raise up ministers in this congregation. Those that are involved in working and have a sense of satisfaction, that they would not be weary in well-doing, but they would continue. For others, Lord, that have had a desire, an inward desire, but they've been a little uncertain, Lord, may this just be that which just pushes them forward, where they actually step out and say, I'm going to see what my part is, and I'm going to contribute it. May this church be healthy and strong and vibrant, full of laborers in your kingdom. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask you to fellowship. If you desire, go out into the foyer, talk out there. If this message has touched you in some way and you just feel like, I just want to sit just in the presence of the Lord, just remain behind, just sit and think about these things. There are people that will pray with you if you desire that. Otherwise, go and we'll hopefully see you tonight.